This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Bill Yates reporting that wide receiver Corey Davis, who stepped away from football in August, has applied for reinstatement to the league. The Jets are expected to release Davis from the reserve retired list today. And according to Field, a return to New York on a new contract is, in fact, in play. In play.
Any appetite for a Giants-Odell Beckham reunion?
Do I have that appetite?
Mm-hmm. He's being released by Baltimore.
I mean, I wouldn't be dead against it, but I don't think that moves the needle for me.
No, no. I mean, I don't think at this point you're talking about grabbing a number one receiver anymore, but I did like the role that he played for Baltimore last year.
Yeah, I mean, again, is the juice worth the squeeze? He didn't make much noise last year.
No. Got him. He's a dad now. He's got himself a Super Bowl ring. Anthony, you immediately said no. You think you would not be worth it?
No, I wouldn't. And Rich Samini made a good point on DNR. He's an FOA. Friend of Aaron.
Oh, boy.
So that could be where he goes.
Interesting. Saquon Barkley chose the Eagles, as you know, Peter.
No, I know.
And he had his press conference, and he talked about choosing the Eagles. Here's Saquon.
When it came to my attention that the Eagles were one of the teams that were interested in me, you know, I definitely got excited about it. Obviously, we got everything wrapped up and, you know, just put, you know, my signature to the paper. But from watching from afar, everything that they're about, the culture here, the fans here, definitely got super excited about it. And I'm just happy to be a part of this organization. I'm ready to go.
All right, then he was asked about going from the Giants to the Eagles.
When I put this hoodie on, definitely a little different. And, you know, seeing my daughter there, put it on the Philadelphia Eagles stuff. He's seen, we've been on the worst side of rivalry, I guess you could say, for the past couple of years. But I'm happy. I'm happy to be a Philadelphia Eagle. You know, like I said, I take pride in it. I'm going to take pride in this organization. I'm going to take pride in my community. You know, that's something that I try my best to do in New York and New Jersey. So I look forward to that. I'm also making an impact in my community. And I'm excited. Like I said, business side of it's over. And we get to keep the main thing. And let's go ball.
Now, Saquon was asked if he had a message to Giant fans.
The Giants fans that were hurt about me leaving, I got nothing but love and respect for all those guys and, you know, all those ladies and just the fans. For the last 6 years, they've been great to me, to my family. I created so many memories. I don't think I really handled it the right way on social media. I think I could have gave a proper goodbye. Like I said, once I announced, everything kind of got hectic. But yeah, I'm forever, you know, forever grateful for the Giants fans and so thankful for them. But unfortunately, you know, the NFL is a business. And I was able to get to a place that I know I can come here, I can compete, and I can win. I can stay close to home. I'm just happy that I was able to, you know, be part of his team.
You know what? You have to like that, Peter. You didn't like the way he played it out on social media, and he admitted he could have been better.
God, even when he makes mistakes, he does it the right way. Like, that was something that I feel like, Michael, 99.9% of the league makes no apology or has anything to say about that.
Right.
You know? I really firmly feel that way. So the fact that he actually then took the time to say, hey, that wasn't cool, I just love that dude, man. Because he's right. It wasn't the perfect thing. It was probably his first misstep he's had with the public since he got here, and he makes amends for it there. So I thought he was going to say something interesting, controversial. Nope. Sounds like it was exactly what we thought, Michael. He sort of got his feathers ruffled a bit by the Tiki situation, understandably. And said something he regretted, and you understand everything he says. Beautiful way for him to end up rolling out.
All right, now, there are allegations of tampering. His college coach at Penn State, James Franklin, said that there was contact between the GM of the Eagles, Howie Roseman, and Saquon Barkley before any kind of contact would be allowed. It's interesting the NFL is looking into it, and if, in fact, that did happen, Giants going to get themselves a draft pick. Anyway, Saquon talked about the tampering allegations.
Coach Franklin, I think, kind of misinterpreted. The truth was the sell pitch to Penn State, how many Penn State fans are Philadelphia Eagles fans, but that was through my agent, and my agent told me that. So it happens, and I'm let the Philly in on that.
So he's denying it, and he's putting it on Franklin that he misunderstood. But you know what? They'll grab a cell phone. They'll look at phone records. They'll see if, in fact, there was any contact whatsoever. It's not as easy in the world not to lie, because there's a lot of receipts out there. I mean, people, I think, that they could get away with where they were. As long as they have a cell phone, you know, everybody talks about, you know, the Chinese are following us on TikTok. Everybody's being followed. Everybody. Just say, by the way, turn your phone off and just discuss that, you know, because, yeah, I wonder how I'm going to get rid of this psoriasis. You'll have like 16 psoriasis emails in a matter of hours. So you're being followed.
You might have already done that for people just by saying those words right now.
Right. So you'll get psoriasis come-ons. So there you go. But if it's out there, I'm sure that there's some kind of digital footprint, and the NFL will find out. Or maybe Saquon will just destroy his phone like Tom Brady did. But that didn't get Tom Brady off the hook, because by destroying his phone, and I, you know, and watching that, the documentary, the Patriot Dynasty, I kind of understood now why he destroyed his phone. First of all, you're handing it over to people you don't know, that you don't trust. There could be private pictures on there. There could be, you know, credit card stuff. There could be money statements. There could be things you don't want people to see. So whether or not he was texting the people that deflated the balls, I'm sure that that's what it looks like. But maybe he also didn't want anybody to see his private stuff. Could be, right?
Sure. Absolutely. There's always a reason for that.
Yeah. But I would gladly hand over my phone.
We know, Michael, there's nothing for anyone to see. Okay. Big Schefter bomb.
Let's hear it.
The Washington Commanders are trading last year's starter Sam Howell to the Seahawks in a pick swap. Mm. The Seahawks will receive Sam Howell and a fourth round pick plus a sixth round pick. What the hell are we getting here? They sent number 102, number 179, and Sam Howell for the Commanders to get a third rounder, number 78, and a fifth at 152. Now, I know you have not been paying much attention, as I'm guessing most are probably not, to the Commies free agency.
Right.
I got to tell you, though, man, the way this dude Peters is operating is pretty cool to watch. It's not sexy stuff. It's not flashy stuff. But they've just added like 15 players, young studs, veterans, and they still have an obscene amount of cap space this year and next year. He's doing some things. By the way, Sam Howell, I want to give Michael credit. He always lied by saying that I said he was the greatest thing ever. I never said that, but I did say I thought the kid could maybe play, and he was traded after his first season playing. So
now it's funny because you just brought up how I always toy with you about that, and The trade, it kind of surprises me, because Sam Howell does have skill.
He does. And,
okay, I'm done. So who's the quarterback that they signed as a free agent?
We got Marcus Mariota.
Right. So Marcus Mariota, that the thought is that the Commanders are going to take Jaden Daniels, because
yes, right now.
That smart teams select backup quarterbacks who play the way the other quarterback plays. And Jaden Daniels is similar in the way he plays. He's better, but they have similar styles than Marcus Mariota. I think that's why the Jets made a smart decision with Tyrod Taylor. He gets the ball out quickly, just like Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, the Jets didn't have that last year, and they had to try to change the whole thing on the run, because the whole thing was, like, built for Aaron Rodgers. And then all of a sudden, Zach Wilson playing. It's not built for Zach Wilson. And maybe they looked at it and said, what we're going to be doing, it's not going to be built for Sam Howell. So they just got rid of him. But I think it's a smart play by the Seahawks, because Geno Smith's getting old. And maybe they look at this guy as a quarterback for the future that they could build up.
No, listen, I'm telling you right now, things fell off the rails for the Commanders last year. But as you can see, they didn't keep the offensive coordinator. He's gone. So obviously things did not work out the way they expected. I saw a lot of talent in Howell. He has a big arm. He's incredibly tough. He's one of those sort of Eli-like, doesn't get up, doesn't get down. There's something there. They just decided he's not it in Washington, and they're going to take a big swing at the quarterback, which I hope it is Jaden Daniels. He's my favorite one in terms of, you know, my top-level research. And by that, I mean looking at YouTube highlights. But I will tell you, man, Michael, in this version of the NFL, the coolest thing is you can turn around a team quickly. And obviously the quarterback's going to be a huge if, but the other pieces that they're putting in place, they'll have a chance to compete if they could get it right with the quarterback. But I mean, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the show, right?
Now, to just piggyback on what we're talking about with Marcus Stroman, Brian Hoke of MLB said that Stroman says he will not be the Yankees opening day starter. He spoke with Cashman and Boone about it. They agreed it would be too difficult to shift his schedule at this point of the spring. So maybe it's the Yankees that were being really careful about it.
Okay. Well, that is important to know.
Little bit of a hornet's nest today. ESPN, the mothership, had their press conference about baseball moving forward, and they talked about, you know, the Carl Ravitch and David and Eduardo and Buster, the main thing, the main group. And then it was also revealed that yours truly, once again this year, will be doing the London game. But the thing that stirred up the hornet's nest, Peter, especially on social media, the London game involves the Mets. How dare ESPN put the Yankee announcer on a Met game? As if I'm not professional enough to do it. I've done a Blue Jay game. I've done I've done the Minnesota Minnesota Twins.
No, I'm not seeing that. Hold on.
This is an insult. How could they have the Yankee announcer do the Met game? Watch me.
Yeah, Watch me. You'll do it unlike any other.
Unlike any other. And I'll also be doing a wild card series again. So I'm sorry if people are upset, but I am a professional. I'm not going to sit there. I might wear a pinstripe suit, but the Mets have pinstripes too.
That is
so
a good
going
point.
To London again.
Foggy London town.
But today, this time, like last time I went for about a week. You know what I'm doing this time? Yankees Dodgers on Friday. Then the Dodgers Yankees is on Fox on Saturday. Dodgers Yankees on ESPN on Sunday. So this is Sunday morning baseball. I'm flying out after the Yankee game on Friday. And I'm going to fly back after the game on Sunday. So I'm going to be in good shape that Monday.
What you get there what day, Friday?
Well, let's see. Is it 6 hours ahead of here?
Yep.
So if I can get a late flight out, I'll get there very early Saturday.
Got it.
If I fly Saturday, then I'll get there sometime in the afternoon on Saturday.
You want to, should we go out there Friday and do the show from Foggy London Town? I'll do it.
No, I'm doing the Yankees Dodgers on Friday. So I'm doing the show before the Yankee Dodger game at the stadium.
Look at you. And are you chartering out with the Yanks?
They're not going to London.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. The Mets. You chartering out with the Mets?
This is not good.
What the F?
The Mets are playing a game on Saturday and Sunday.
Got it.
So they're leaving before. You know what? I think Carlos Mendoza and Steve Cohen will hold up the plane for the Yankee announcer to finish doing the Yankee Dodger game.
It would be nice. It's the least they could do.
It is the it's the most they could do. I don't think it's going to happen. I'll get some tips from Gary. You know?
Yeah. Give Ga a call.
Yeah.
By the way, that doesn't work as a nickname. People have to stop.
It is a nickname.
It can't
Garon
be.
Keith.
It can't be Ga. Ga is not a thing. Sorry.
If it you're is out to them.
If you're out there and your name is Gary, I want to know if you reasonably walk around these streets with the nickname Ga. It's not. It's like Susie Essman calls Larry La on Curb, but that can't be a real thing, is it? La and Ga?
I believe that Larrys are called La.
Ask
Come
him
on,
right,
of course.
Ask LD right now. Say true. I want to know, does anyone call you La in real life?
Yeah, I'm not going to bother him with that. Tim Kirchen just tweeted out, it's nearly certain that Gerrit Cole and Blake Snell will not start on opening day. The last time the reigning Cy Young winners did not start opening day was back in 2005. It was Clemens and Santana. Before that was 1982, Valenzuela and Fingers, and obviously Raleigh was a reliever, so he wasn't going to start. So this doesn't happen too often. One's because of injury, and one's because he doesn't have a team to play for. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. I'm really intrigued, Ira's thoughts on what we've heard the last couple of days. Ira, talk to us.
Hey, what's happening, Peter and Michael? You know, I left work early. I turned on the radio. I hear the tail end of your Rogers conversation. And the other day when I spoke to you, I thought you were kind of kidding around until you mentioned the times. Mm-hmm. And then I see how the whole thing played out. And, you know, this was my biggest issue. And I hope I turned out to be wrong. But I didn't want all this baggage and drama because I knew it was coming when they were going to get him. And I didn't know if it was worth it. Because to be very honest with you, he's probably got a better odd to get to the White House than he has to get to a Super Bowl with the Jets. And the whole thing is crazy. The Sandy Hook thing, I don't know what the outcome was that is. But did I hear you guys say that he didn't deny something about the vice presidency today?
No, he issued a statement, Ira. We talked about this at the beginning of the show, and I know you were working at that point. He issued a statement saying that he believes that Sandy Hook happened. It was a tragedy. Doesn't deny that he said that to Pamela Brown. Never said that. But in that statement, he didn't even refer to the vice president.
Well, that's not a good sign. And you know what? If I'm the only, if Woody Johnson doesn't know already, and Joe Douglas, if this guy thinks he's going to play both ends of the cards and he's going to mess around in politics and still play football, goodbye. I can't deal with it. I'm sorry. Move on. Pay the man his money and let him go. And just do what you have to do. Go get Justin Fields. Let what's his name, Tyrod Taylor, be the backup. I can't. This organization, I just don't. Nothing they seem to do, it never turns out right. I mean, even listen, I'm happy for Corey Davis where he found himself. He's coming back. I got no problem as a depth player. But the whole Rodgers drama, I'd say at the end of the day, I, once again, I want to be wrong. It wasn't worth the gamble. It's just too much uproar and too much bad publicity this organization doesn't need.
Well, Ira, you know, you said a mouthful, and it's hard to argue with anything that you said, but here's what it comes down to. The Jets sold their soul to Aaron Rodgers. They cannot discipline him. They cannot tell him no. They can't tell him we don't want you on Pat McAfee. Peter, when you sell your soul, you sell your soul full. You can't, like, back off all of a sudden and they go, well, I don't want to do that. Well, now he owns the team. I mean, we say that in a joking way, but he essentially owns the team. There's nobody above him that will tell him no. He's undisciplinable because he has so much power in that organization. They sold everything. They sold their ethics, their morals. They sold everything, and they can't tell him no about anything.
Well, so far, we have never heard anyone come out and say anything. Right. Anything that disparages, goes against him, we've heard nothing in any way.
And you won't.
So I guess that means, again, we have to just believe the information that we're given. And the information that we're given says he does not, no one has the authority to call him out.
Well, they have the authority. Nobody has the onions to call him out. They're afraid of him. The whole organization is afraid of him, including Sala, including Douglas, and including Woody Johnson. I'm sorry, they don't have the guts.
Well, Sala, it's not onions then, it's authority, right? Because he can't do it.
With it's job security. He can get fired in a second.
That's what I'm saying.
He doesn't have the authority. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So in the case, so the not having the cojones, if you will, goes above Salah. That would be ownership.
Also, Peter, a coach should be able to discipline a player.
Yep.
The fact that he doesn't. But Robert has said to us, he's a perfect citizen within those walls. But you can't. It's not the walls are not lead. Things do permeate the walls. I'm sorry. They do. You can't say that it's not a distraction.
No, they don't even know about this.
You can say it, but I don't believe it.
They don't even know about this, Michael. It doesn't get through to them. They're only talking football in there. They're running plays right now.
Yeah, the funny part is every single player is constantly in their free time on their phone, checking out social media. You can't tell me they're not seeing this stuff. And maybe Rodgers has told the Jets, I'm not running for vice president. But why would you make the organization look like stooges by not in the statement going, by the way, I have no interest in being the vice president of the United States. Or I support Robert Kennedy Jr., which he said, but I'm not going to be his running mate. He wants to just string this out. It's either he's a legitimate candidate or he wants to string it out. Neither one is a good look. I'm sorry. Neither one's a good look. Go to Joey in Montclair. Joey.
By the way, I have no interest.
Joey, turn the phone down.
Turn it down, buddy. There you go.
What's up, man?
Okay. All right. Good stuff, buddy.
Good stuff. Let's go to Nick in East Meadow. Nick.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Nick.
First time, long time.
Welcome aboard.
Peter, welcome to the Yankee fan base. I just need to find out if, you know, the Yankees are going to make any moves at all. I'm hearing stuff about a potential Michael Lorenzen deal with the Phillies. I'm hearing
a
lot of
stuff. He's a free agent.
He is a free agent. My apologies, then.
Yeah.
I have been hearing stuff from John Heyman about a potential signing of Michael Lorenzen. But if the Yankees don't do anything, is there a chance that Luis Gil starts the game, because my gut is that Nestor and Clark Schmidt are not going to be starting because of their past injuries and stuff. You know,
you must have joined us a little late, Nick. They're both starting tomorrow. That does not put them in line to start opening day. So whoever is going to be the pitcher that takes over the spot vacated by Cole might be the opening day starter. So it's not going to be Rodon. Obviously not going to be Cole. Stroman is on a program that doesn't take him to opening day, so he's going to start game three. He's out. As I said, Nestor and Clark don't line up. So whoever is going to slide into that role, whether it's Luis Gil or Will Warren or Clayton Beter, they're going to be the opening day starter, or they will go with a bullpen, which is really, really hard to reconcile. Think about that. A team with a $300 million payroll, you don't even know who their opening day starter is yet. We know who the Met opening day starter is, not the Yankees. And the Mets, you know, number one starter, Cody Senga, they're pushing him back a week before he can start to throw again. And they say out of an abundance of caution. There's been no setback, but out of an abundance of caution. Okay, I'll play along. Let's give him another week for no reason. Time for Inside the Numbers, brought to you by Eisner Amper.
Get in there.
OG Anunoby has a plus 280. That's a plus minus in the first 15 games with the Knicks, Peter. The second best plus minus over 15 game span by any player in the last 25 seasons. And that trails only Steph Curry in 2015, who was plus 281, just one skinny point. That's Inside the Numbers, brought to you by Eisner Amper, a leading business advisory firm helping clients transform their companies, build capital, innovate processes, and mitigate risk. Make Eisner Amper part of your solution. Learn more at EisnerAmper.com/solution. Hey, when I'm getting ready for a game, I have to be prepared. I have my lineup cards, the latest team stats, and of course, my mug of Bigelow tea. For me, it's Bigelow Earl Grey. That's right, with a smooth taste that keeps my voice in peak condition, even when the game goes into extra innings. I refuse to settle. Neither should you. No matter how hectic your day gets, grab your favorite Bigelow tea and take a moment just for you. So grab a mug of your favorite Bigelow tea and join the millions of fans that make Bigelow number one in New York. Bigelow Tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, we've told you about the Yankee possible opening day starter, that Cortez and Schmidt don't line up. Just the way the schedule works. Aaron Boone said they are going to have to move pitchers' schedules around to get someone to start on opening day. So he says he knows who is pitching, but he doesn't want to disclose at this time. So then it was pressed to him. It was at Nestor Cortez or Clark Schmidt, and he said it could be. So it could be those two. We know it's not Stroman. We know it's not Rodon. We know it's not Cole. And it could be the guy who takes over for Cole in the rotation. Peter, you haven't even said anything, and I'm a little hurt by it, but I've whittled down the beard into a goatee. And the next step is tomorrow to make it into a Pusick.
Well, how do I say this? I had come to like the beard situation. I did. I thought the beard, much as I hated to admit it, like so many things that we try to do on the show to punish Michael, the beard started to work for you. And then when we had our pre-show meeting today and I saw you, I immediately said, no, I don't like this. you, for some reason, the beard worked for you. It made you look younger. It worked for the shape of your face. I believe this goatee hurts the shape of your face and makes you look older. I'm just being honest. That's fair.
You know what? It's supposed to be a painful loss for me, and so far it has been.
You liked it better as a beard, I'm guessing, as well, right?
I actually could have seen myself keeping a beard for a while. And I would have tried to do it and even fly in the face of the Yankees' no facial hair policy, because Carlos Beltran had a beard the year he worked with us. Todd Frazier has a beard, so I'm sure I could have gotten away with it. And my boss actually said, the big boss actually said, you know, it looks good. It's well trimmed. So it wasn't like they hated it. But the bet is to have a Pusick, and I will unveil that tomorrow at the big event at the Rutherford across the street from the Garden.
I have to admit, I'm looking forward to seeing our listeners tomorrow. I'm looking forward to hanging out at the Big East tournament. Not looking forward to seeing the Pusick. It's going to be upsetting.
Now I'm going to make a statement here that you'll push back on, and when Don hears about it, he's going to push back on it as well. I'm giving you the Pusick for a full week on the air. It had never been previously stated how long I had to have it. It's going to go Thursday. It's going to go Friday through next Thursday, and that's it. I'm not keeping it any longer.
I'm fine with that. You know, Don may have something to say.
Oh, sorry.
But did we even mention on the air yesterday the thing that happened with Don?
No.
Was that intentional?
No, he said he was willing to talk about it, but I was so distraught by it, I didn't even want to bring it up.
If you've listened to this show, you know the long history that exists of Don having a really bad moment back in the day with Yankee PA announcer Paul Olden. I'm sure you've heard the story. If you're a listener of the show, if you've been listening since 1947, you know. Don was doing a show. Paul Olden was there, and Don mentioned his name, and when he said Paul Olden, Paul Olden went, "It's not Olden, it's Olden." And they had a back and forth where, according to Don, Mr. Olden really yelled at him and kind of scolded him and embarrassed him.
Yeah, and he was never going to forget it.
It hurt him to his core, and I believe he said if he ever saw him again, he was going to punch him square in the forehead.
Right.
And then we get a picture yesterday, because as you know, Don did the show yesterday from George Steinbrenner Field down in Tampa. And he sent a picture of him arm in arm smiling with Paul Olden. And Michael was sick to his stomach to see it.
And then we said, I called him the height of being a phony. And he said that Olden had said that fans had told him about the stuff that Don had said. And Paul, who's a very nice man, so I never understood the hatred that Don had toward him. Paul said he does not remember the incident, but if it bothered Don, he apologized.
And what do you say to this?
Sorry doesn't fix the lamp. Also, it's one of those classic apologies. If I offended you, you either apologize or you don't.
Well, that's not exactly what he said, though. I have to defend Mr. Olden.
Okay.
He said, I don't have a recollection of that.
Right.
But if that's what happened, I am sorry.
Okay.
He didn't say if I offended you.
Well, then
he
that's said, better.
And there's the photo. I mean, look at Mr. Olden and Don, who now have matching gray beards, just smiling away. I mean,
I'll tell you something. I think Don had just a glorious time yesterday.
Are you sensing he may be leaning Yanks when he gets back?
Well, no, I'm not saying he's leaning Yanks, but he did make a comment, a very quick offhanded comment yesterday on the show. You know, if you ever want to, like, cut back, I'd be interested in doing games. I mean, I think he loved walking on the ballpark. There were a lot of fans of the show there. They stopped him. He talked. He took pictures. He loved the adulation. He's not going to get that at Citi Field.
No.
He didn't get that at the Rangers. The Yankee fans are a different breed, man.
Well, I'm sure he gets a lot of love at Ranger games. I'll say this. I think that doing this show on Yes for all these years and doing the show with you, the Yankee announcer, with such a rabid, passionate fan base, and us being so close to the Yankees, even though I grew up just like any other AL East fan, you know, just supposed to despise the Yankees, in the years that have gone on that I've been here,
you love
it, is I'm not going to go that far.
You said you're a Yankee fan this year.
This year I've pledged my New York allegiance to the Yankees. But even beyond that, I'd be lying to say I don't feel some sort of connection because, yeah, we're sitting here on the Yankees Entertainment. What's the S for again?
Yankee Entertainment and Sports Network.
And sports, right, exactly. So, I mean, the why is for Yankee, and it's a big part of our lives. So I think Don being there, I'm sure, felt it. I'm sure I'd feel the same thing. You know, I've never done spring training in any way.
What do you mean, done it?
I've never been to any spring training in any capacity. Well, I would like to do that one. I would like to do it one day. It seems like a... You know why I like it?
Tell me.
Because it owns what a baseball game really is. Because, like... A regular season baseball game, basically April through July, certainly, at least, is a very casual event. But spring training owns it even more. I mean, nothing even matters. You're just there to have a good time and eat and drink and hang out. So I enjoy that it's true to the nature of what a baseball game is, which is essentially sitting around and talking.
You're crazy.
I mean, not everybody pulls out their scorecard at games when, you know, when they're nearly 70 years old.
Anthony, can you give me a final St. John score?
Oh, here we go.
It is 85-72 St. John's with a minute 10 to go.
How about that?
That looks like it's over.
Good for Rick. I'll tell you what, since he had that verbal diarrhea about his team, they've been great.
If that was really planned, well done.
If that was a motivational ploy, you can see why this guy's one of the greatest coaches of all time. I think it's a happy happenstance. I don't believe that was the intent. I think he was throwing up his hands on the season, and that was it. He said, hey, they just can't do it, and they decided to be able to do it. I give them credit. They've had some really – they're going to the NCAA for the first time in a while. Good for them. Good for them. Bad for Don with Paul. I'm glad that for Paul's sake, he didn't get punched in the forehead, but Don didn't follow through.
You're saying it wrong. It's Paul Holden.
Yep. And you have to know something about Don that's an important piece of information.
What is it?
For as emotional as Don is and passionate as he can be on a story, like Don, how do I say this?
Just say it.
Phony? Phony's the wrong word, but gutless? He does. He's got a little gutless in him.
Oh yeah.
What? I'm gonna go. Yeah, I'm gonna. No, that's Michael really saying that. I think the better term would be non-confrontational.
Well, and you know what? A good synonym would be gutless.
But like, how many times have there been a situation just at the radio station where we believe, you know, there's something that needs to be said between Don and someone else at the station.
Right.
And he will tell us that he then saw the person, and we're like, what happened? Nothing. Oh, it was great. They said they love me and everything's fine. He is definitively non-confrontational. He does it with you, too.
Oh, he has things to say that, and he doesn't say it when he sees me?
Well, I think it's stuff that you know, but he still doesn't bring it up when push comes to shove. He just doesn't like it.
No, you know, we can confront him tomorrow because you could join the Michael K. Show for a live Big East broadcast tomorrow.
I can't wait.
Starting at 3 p.m. at the Rutherford, a rooftop restaurant on 33rd Street across from Madison Square Garden. I'm being told, Peter, we will be doing the show outside on the rooftop.
That is confirmed?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I'd like a temp for tomorrow before I agree to this.
I think it's in the 60s, and Yes has looked at the shot. They say the shot is phenomenal.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting drunk during the show tomorrow. I'm going to be honest with everyone. Just be prepared. I will be, by ENN, I will be blitzed. I just want everyone to know it.
We've got glorious guests to come by, too. You got to tune in and find out. There'll be plenty of ESPN swag given away and a chance to score Big East tournament tickets. So see the K-Show live with special Big East guests at the Rutherford on 33rd Street tomorrow starting at 3 p.m. Brought to you by Sam Adams, Truly Hard Seltzer, Schweppes, and Nissan. Now let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Matt in Long Island City. Matty.
Speaking of gutless, I'm going to sound like an old man for the next minute or so, but I promise I'm only 27. What you were saying about Marcus Stroman and Carlos Rodon not taking up the opening day start, I don't care if it's from the Yankees or the players. It's just modern baseball feels so lame sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, we killed Zach Wilson for a report that he hesitated to step up because 300-pound men might rip off his head. But, you know, the pitchers are like, it might throw off my program. By the way, the program, I guarantee you one of them will be injured before the All-Star break. So the programs don't work that good anyway. So I don't know. I know I sound like an old man, but it actually made me a little like the angry Yankee fan that I hate.
Well, I mean, I can't sit and say you're wrong. Unless we were in on those discussions, though, Matt, we can't really come down with a hammer on anybody. The way it was being reported is that Stroman said he wants to stay on his program. That's not a great look. It shouldn't have come out that way. The other two guys are starting tomorrow, so that they don't project to be able to be ready on the 5 days rest to start the opener, but they can move things around. And you know, the Yankees obviously have been planning since the end of last year that Gerrit Cole was starting opening day. And you know what? The baseball gods got in the way. It's just a different world, everybody. It's not, you know, that picture of Y.A. Tittle with blood coming down the side of his head. It's just not that sport. Sports is not that anymore. These are specialized athletes. They're finely tuned. They do not throw crap into their body. They eat the best stuff. They train constantly. And they look at it like, you know, like scientists. So they're not going to push themselves. They think if they push themselves. But what Matt said is also true, Peter. They're on these great programs. They follow everything to the letter. And then they all seem to get hurt. So how are we different than we were when we used to do, you know, when we used to be rubbed dirt on it?
Rub dirt.
Griffin in Connecticut has a would you for Peter. What's up, Griffin?
Would you Thursday? Hey, Griff.
Yeah, I do. I have a would you for you, Peter. We're really going to find out what comes first, your friendship or you hate Duke a lot more.
Ooh,
okay.
So you become the Duke announcer on the radio. They give you the voice for the Duke on the radio.
What
and
a
you,
turn this would be, yeah.
You do all the basketball games, and you have to wear the Duke sweatshirt, a Duke hoodie. You have to wear every Duke thing. And Michael and Don get to live a magical rest of their life. They get to see their kids get married. They get to walk their kids down the aisle. They get to see their kids' graduation. Or you don't take the job, and Michael and Don do not get to see their kids walk down the aisle. They do not get to see their kids graduate. They die early.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. Wait, I'm so confused now.
Well, let me Griffin certainly took a circuitous route. You take the Duke job. Don and I have a great ending. We see everything with our kids. We walk them down the aisle.
Yeah.
You don't, and we die early. We don't see any of that.
I would obviously take the Duke job rather than my friends die. I mean, come on. Griffin, you're better than that. At least I'd like to think you are. I mean, can you make it a little bit more tempting for me?
Like, yeah, I mean, to really make it a tough call, you have to take the Duke job. Your marriage ends, but Don and Michael have this great ending of life. Then that's a tough decision.
Right. But no, I mean, this is easy. Yeah, I'd take the Duke job. It'd be fine.
It's over, Peter. I know you want to hear about this, so I'm going to tell you. St. John's beat Seton Hall 91-72.
Let's
91-72.
Break it down.
We'll break it down tomorrow, a big E show. Hey, Mercedes-Benz of White Plains has done it again. Yes, they have, winning their third consecutive Mercedes-Benz Best of the Best Dealer Recognition Award. In celebration, they're having a three-day sales event from now to the 16th with special prizes with the purchase of a new vehicle when you RSVP. Visit their showroom in White Plains or explore online at mbwhiteplains.com. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Been a good show so far. It's just me and Peter doing the action. Don is off today. Back again tomorrow with us at the Big East Show at the Rutherford, right across the street from the Garden on 33rd Street. Drop by, say hello. We're taking some phone calls. A lot of stuff happening. Let's go to Joe in Greenwich. Joe.
Yes, sir. Nice to talk to you guys again. I've talked to you before. I'm a little older, backwards on baseball. What I don't understand is how can you not have a starting pitcher? I know you just talked to someone about that. How could you not have a starting pitcher when you have a week to 10 days to go?
Well, they do have a starting pitcher. I mean, it's not going to be a big name.
But that's not what I'm saying. Well, then who's going to be the starting pitcher?
I think it's going to be Nestor Cortez. I mean, they have to replace Gerrit Cole, and they're going to probably replace him with one of their pitchers that are their added guys, the 6, 7, 8, 9 starters. Luis Gil, Clayton Beter, Will Warren, Chase Hampton, Cody Petit. That's going to be the guy who one of those guys is going to replace Gerrit Cole for however long Gerrit Cole's out, whether it's 2 months or the year. I think if it's a year, then they would get somebody bigger and more accomplished to move into that role, unless the guy that does step in actually dominates. But to say they don't have a pitcher, of course they have a pitcher. It's not the pitcher that you thought when this team was put together and the payroll is $300 million, but there's a pitcher that's going to pitch. It's not like they're going to take the field without a pitcher. That's not happening. Let's go to Isaac in Westchester. Isaac.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So we've said this before. The Yankees are one of the organizations who have players in their too valuable to trade, but impossible to ever make their way up. It's always like they're not good enough to start on the league level. But
well, you're cutting in and out. If I can understand what you were saying, their prospects never had. Well, their prospects won a Gold Glove at shortstop last year. Their prospect hit a home run in the first at bat last year in Jason Dominguez. The only reason he's not the starting center fielder this year is because he had Tommy John surgery, so he'll be back by the middle of the season. Their prospect is Austin Wells. He's going to be half of the catching position for the Yankees. So, again, that's just a narrative that doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. So you want to trade Spencer Jones. That's what you want when you're telling me that none of their prospects make it. And I'm telling you, they do. Clark Schmidt made it. He started 30 games last year. That's a prospect out of the Yankee system. Nestor Cortez is a prospect out of the Yankee system. I could go on and on. Gleyber Torres, although he was acquired from the Cubs, came out of the Yankee system. He didn't go straight to the big leagues. Aaron Judge came out of the Yankee system. Your theory, your narrative is flawed. It's just not accurate. It's not accurate. It's silly talk is what it is. Go to Gene in Connecticut.
Michael, Peter, how are you today?
Good. How are you, Gene?
Good, thanks. Just wanted to bring up a point on the Don and Paul Olden picture.
Okay.
Paul has a fist right below Don's chin, if you look at the photo. So they're kind of spoofing Don, punching him right in the forehead.
They clearly are, yes. And that's what makes us sick, Gene, because Don, talking tough, he actually posed for a picture where Olden was Rocky and he was Creed.
Wow. I didn't even think about it like that. That's even more unfortunate.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
You're disappointed is what it sounds like.
Well, you are too. Yeah, I know you don't rip your boy, but you're disappointed too. You're not mad enough to say why.
I don't know if I would. That's not the way you need to describe it.
This portion, by the way, of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7
Love this portion.
ESPN is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of White Plains. Visit Mercedes-Benz of White Plains. Proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968. Peter, do you feel freer without Don that you can talk?
70%?
And you're not getting constantly interrupted and stuff like that. It's a different vibe for you, right? Let's lift the curtain.
No, it's definitely a different vibe. I don't prefer it. That's not how I feel.
Really?
I mean, it depends on the day. I mean, most days I really enjoy, the dynamic the way it is. Every blue moon there might be a day when I'm thinking, I have a little bit more to say. But I think that pales compared to the days that it's just right. So I miss Don. Miss him terribly.
Have you sent out birthday wishes yet?
Birthday wishes.
Very important person.
Important to who?
Well, you like him. You went to a Knick game with him.
Billy Crystal?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I did not know.
Yeah. Some friend you are.
I did not know this.
Well, you get yourself ready. Send out a birthday wish. We'll come back. We'll reset. We have a lot of stuff to talk about. Big 5 o'clock hour coming up right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Well, Discover BetMGM, the sports betting app New Yorkers turn to for nonstop action, is an official sports betting partner of Madison Square Garden and the New York Knicks and the New York Rangers. BetMGM meets New Yorkers at the world's greatest arena with same-game parlays, exclusive signature bets, and much more all season long. And as an authorized gaming partner of the NBA and an official sports betting partner of the NHL, BetMGM takes the show on the road for excitement every single night. Plus, as an official sports betting partner of the New York Jets, BetMGM makes every football game day seem like the best it can be. Download the BetMGM app today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com for T's and C's. Must be 21 plus of age or to wager. New York and New Jersey only. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, help is available. In New Jersey, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 878-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.